you've been studying fertility and reproduction for quite some time now, it seems. When did you and the wider scientific community start to realise that, hey, human sperm might be in a bit of trouble?
It's only quite recently that we've actually been able to shine a light on this. I think people have had the assumption that male reproductive health is fine and infertility is largely a female-driven problem. But I guess over the last decade, we're learning that males contribute equally to the infertility equation. So males and females roughly equivalent in terms of their implications in terms of infertility.
Yeah, certainly. And I think, yeah, like you said, it's a big assumption we make because we have this whole idea of, you know, the fertile virile male, but that's clearly not always the case.
No, that's certainly not the case. And what we're learning is, as you mentioned in the intro, sperm counts are declining around the globe and quite precipitously over the last handful of years, the last handful of decades, we've really noticed quite dramatic drops. 40 years ago, we were producing somewhere in the order of about 300 million sperm per ejaculate. And as you mentioned, that number's dropped to about 100 million per ejaculate on average across the globe.
Yeah, and there's certainly some serious implications there. So you and the others have had a discussion about that, you know, there might be some environmental and pollution factors such as microplastics and forever chemicals that could be disrupting those counts. Could you take us through exactly what it is that these chemicals and so forth might be doing that's disrupting our production process?
Thanks, Cody. I think that's an excellent question. One of the things we've noticed about this decline is the speed at which it's happening, which suggests that it's not genetic factors that are driving this. It's likely something that human males are exposed to either within their environment or through lifestyle factors and the things that they do on a day-to-day basis. And one of the things we've found is that certain plasticides, and we've been working on a group of chemicals known as PFAS chemicals, and these fit into a class of chemicals that are known as endocrine disruptors. So what they do is they change the hormone profile within the body, and in particular, a handful of these target reproductive hormones, so the production of testosterone in our species. And testosterone is critical for driving things like sperm production. So reductions in testosterone go hand in hand with reductions in sperm production as well. And some of these chemicals or environmental contaminants that we appear to be exposed to are linked to these declines.
Mm. And I know as a layperson, I hear as we get older, there's men that go on testosterone replacement therapy. Does that have a positive impact then on sperm counts? Or is it a case of once things start going down, that's kind of where a lot of men are at?
Not necessarily. So the addition of an exogenous form or an external form of testosterone doesn't necessarily rescue sperm production. And in some cases, it can actually suppress sperm production more. And I know that seems counterintuitive, but it comes down to the functioning of the testes. And both the production of testosterone and the production of sperm takes place in the testes. And the drop in testosterone suggests that the testes isn't working normally, which goes hand in hand with the drop in sperm production. But if you apply testosterone from an external source, that's not rescuing testis function. So it's not necessarily rescuing the ability of men to produce sperm as well. So it's not a cure-all for this sort of condition.
Yes, certainly. It has effects on other things, but not on sperm.
Correct.
So you certainly focused on a lot of environmental reasons why our sperm counts could be dropping, but have you or others looked into perhaps potential psychological reasonings? So could perhaps increased stress levels also have an impact on what we're seeing here?
It's really quite possible that stress is impacting. And there are a handful of studies, for example, studying sleep patterns in males. And males do shift work, nighttime work, for example, and interrupt their normal rhythms of sleep. That can impact the quality of sperm that they're producing as well. So stress factors can certainly feed into this as well. And it not just changes the number of sperm being produced, but it can also affect the quality of sperm. And I think that's an important feature of this sort of research as well. 100 million sperm in an ejaculate is still a lot of sperm when you only need one to fertilise an egg, but it's the quality of those sperm that really matters. And that's also in decline. And yes, factors such as stress can impact the quality of sperm.
Yeah, so We'll dig into that a bit more. So when you talk about the quality of the sperm, what kind of, when you say, you know, I guess bad quality or lesser quality, what kind of impact is that actually having? Like, are we seeing kind of birth defects, or is it just generally that, yeah, the sperm exists, but it is not successfully fertilizing eggs because of quality?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. What is a good quality sperm cell? And there's a number of features that define that. The role of a sperm cell is to deliver the dad's DNA to the egg to initiate fertilization. That's the sole function. But they need to be able to swim to do that, and they need relatively normal shape and size to be able to navigate through the female reproductive tract to achieve that goal. But it's really the cargo that sperm carry that's important. The rest of the machinery is there just to deliver that cargo to the eggs, but the DNA and the regulatory molecules that go around that DNA is critically important. And what we're finding is that some of these environmental impacts and things like stress can change the quality of the DNA, so reduce the integrity of the DNA that the sperm are carrying, and some of the other regulatory molecules that they carry as well. And they have consequences in terms of controlling gene expression in the embryo. And that can in turn have consequences for the development of the embryo and potentially the well-being of offspring conceived from a stressed father or father that's been exposed to environmental contaminants as well.
Mm, certainly. There's a lot going into it. And what if, say, there are men out there that are trying to reproduce and they might be having a feeling that they do have a reduced count, or they suspect there might be some kind of issue there, what kind of advice would you give them, especially since, hey, you know, stereotypically men don't really go see their doctors, especially about this kind of thing?
Yeah, I would encourage men that are concerned about this to consult with a general practitioner as a first port of call. And there are some detailed analysis that can be done around semen quality as well. And there's just been some publication, some guidelines published in Australia around how fertility measures should be approached as well. And those guidelines will be really quite informative, I guess, in terms of telling practitioners how to actually assess male fertility and how to coach and explain to males the potential consequences of any defects that they do see in their semen quality as well.
Mm, yeah, it's a real partnership, I guess. The man has to be able to be comfortable to talk about that, but a GP or whoever also has to be equipped to deal and process that information to them accordingly.
Yes, that's absolutely correct.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your time today, Professor. This has been a real fascinating chat, and I hope the people out there listening got something out of it. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Cody. I appreciate your interest in our work.
No, thank you. And, of course, that was Professor Brett Nixon from the University of Newcastle talking about the declining sperm counts amongst human men. It's certainly concerning, especially for someone that is trying to raise children, or rather have children with your partner. And yeah, keep an eye on that. And if you are someone that's trying and not having success, then yeah, talk to your GP. That's what they're there for.